Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. There I am. Alright, so the plan eventually is to make everything, like, you know, really short, 1 hour kind of movie, documentary of reality that just kind of spells it all out in the right order and in the perfect words. And makes it all understandable that, as much as you might feel like you're accomplishing something, it's way too expensive, and you're really not accomplishing anything that your presence, didn't create the problem that you're fixing. But the only problems you're fixing are your psychological problems, your desires and your needs, and your ambitions. See, I could use more perfect words to describe these motivating mechanisms. But anyway, so in the past I've played with this idea of just going through, you're just really going through the mistakes you can make philosophically, like which kind of beliefs or notions or vague bullshit your brain uses to validate in some way existence. And they're just mistakes. So, the number one biggest mistake, you could argue, would be religion, or some notion that this is somebody's video game, this somehow there's some other universe, okay, that's using this universe as entertainment or, to get, like they're in grammar school and they get a little gold star on the bulletin board by their name. If they create a wacky universe where there's a bunch of excessive suffering. No, it's not working that way. The fish aren't swimming in the ocean and being chased by the sharks and, all the crap that goes on in our world. People aren't getting divorced and there's, tragic crap happening. People don't have women tied up in their basement and all that bullshit. Because it's a great video game, that some god needs to play. Or some grammar school student in some other universe, however you want to understand God as a notion or an idea. It's just really stupid. Oh, an infinite intelligence made of insanely wasteful pile of slop where, and he puts, half the slop he makes, he tortures eternally. Oh, come on, more than half. And the rest get to go to a heaven where they forget who they are. Great idea. Where they become an imbecile. Well, anyway, so religion could be mocked, obviously. Or it can be argued, serious arguments about putting carts before horses or some sort of bullshit about, you got no evidence and it's just stories by human beings and they're archaic old stories, so they must be just complete bullshit. So why are you believing any of that nonsense? Because everyone else is doing it? If everybody else ate Twinkies and jumped off a cliff, would you do it? Come on, too stupid. All right, so the idea of the argument would be is that, once we get that crap out of the way, then what other crap is left, Then you're just left with, we exist in a mechanical universe, all right? It's not some sort of, it's not a God-run machine, so you could figure that it gets dumber and dumber, more elemental you get. That the basic function is just an initiation, Stuff happens and then that causes stuff to happen and that causes stuff to happen. So you just have cause and effect. You just have a mechanism. So that's what sort of the science just kind of screams is there. It's basically just mechanism. You look at anything that happens, an event, and you can find all the reasons why it looks that way or it behaves that way. And even us, you can see it in everything you do. You can find out why I am who I am. You can find little pieces of the bits of personality you've acquired, who you're mimicking in a sense, what kind of events have created you, impacted you and created the dents and the deformation, okay, that is your psychology and your philosophy and your mannerisms, how you use your mechanical structure to emphasize a point, all that crap. You can sort of see it, so it's not like a big mystery. It's all built out of exposure to a universe, a whole bunch of stuff happening. So anyway, the second big fact is, okay, is you're sitting here in this universe, okay, you've understood, okay, it's not some intelligent creation. It's just a creation, okay? It's just a thing going. And what kind of conclusions can you draw? Well, it clearly has this thing called feelings in it, all right? And that's a big one, okay? You want to go find some value, you go find something that feels. All right, so this is where, all right, so I'm already sort of in trouble, right? So I'm just doing this sort of freehand. I didn't write it down ahead of time or any of that crap, because I'm just trying to go through the important big ideas. So the first big idea is you don't get wrong ideas. So we have religion, wrong idea, wrong description of reality. And what's the second big idea? Well, I guess I could argue it's not a single player game. I mean, that's a big idea. It's really important for you to understand. It's not you don't judge how well you're doing based on how well you're doing, okay? It's not a good enough answer. You have to judge it based on how many things you stepped on, how much stuff you affected, and how you affected it. So your life isn't just the impact on your own. I'm happy. That's not all there is to the story. Part of the story is, are you happy because a lot of other people are sad, because you made them that way. So it's not a single player game. The game, the core of it. But to do that, there has to be some idea, some notion, some acceptance of the only thing you're playing for is feelings. Okay, so which one comes first? An explanation that, well, if you really break down your life into what is it, what are you playing for? What has value? And what has value is your feeling state. That in the end, when people say something like, well, as long as you have your health, you have everything. Well, in a sense, that is true. As long as you feel good, you win. You're at the finish line. And, anything not feeling so good, okay, is distance from the finish line. And that, you're spending your life basically just trying to feel good about yourself and your life. So there's two plays to it, right? There's the physical, I don't have cancer, really good. I don't know. Kids, that's how sucky the game is that you don't even get to know when you're really dying, until you're already almost dead sometimes, which really sucks. I suppose, right? I mean, there's certainly circumstances where you're better off not knowing, because then you can at least not be miserable, being fretting about your inevitable, easy to see, smashing into the wall and being put out like a cigarette butt or something. It's an open question. Just saying, in a perfect world, in my perfect world, we'd all get to know. We'd all have pre-knowledge of everything, and every button we pressed, we'd know exactly what that button does. Uncertainty sucks. It's one of these, it's a fact for me. I don't know if that's an important philosophical fact. I don't know if everybody has to believe that, but back to the subject. So figuring out what's the more important fact, understanding that the only value we're playing for is the welfare of brains that feel, and that the idea is to keep them off of laboratory tables having nails stuck in their eyes. That the idea is to minimize the amount of brains going through horror or torture. Now, again, part of understanding that is understanding it's not a single player game. So it's really hard to, make the argument for value if the person is sitting there saying the only thing that means anything is how I feel. Well, that's retarded. So it's like I shouldn't even have to argue that one, but apparently you do have to argue it. So unless there's some evidence, for you to believe something that crazy, then, there's no reason to believe it. So it's just like another kind of religion, okay? Instead of a God creating the universe, they're saying they're the God, and the universe has been created for them to play with. And, and all that matters is how good God feels about playing the game of whatever universe. And it's just too stupid. So I think most people, come on, you can't really believe it. It doesn't matter what happens to your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or anybody else you care about in the universe. And the only thing that matters is how you feel. What a pile of crap. And then the whole idea of me saying, the only thing, your mother and your father, your sister, your brother, why are they special? Because you knew them? because you banged into them some time in the universe? You spent some time with them, and they're the reason why they're important, and all the other people aren't your brother or your sister, and therefore they don't matter. Too stupid again. So yes, there's no God. It's not a single player game. We're stuck in a game where, it's just my brain feels. Everybody else's brain is doing the same thing, feeling, and it's about how good we all feel. Is the game. The game is all the players on the field, and, if some of them are getting their legs broken and nails stuck in their eye, we got a problem. Because I know if it was happening to me, I would want the referee to blow the whistle and say, wait, we have to fix this. Okay, we can't play the game until we fix this problem. If this nail in the eye thing keeps happening, can't keep playing, okay? Too stupid. It would be really, really stupid to play a game that puts nails in things' eyes. All right, and so then we get to the antinatalist, effelist argument, where apparently this is another sticking point for people, is they can't look at something like a great ape and say, I know some math, and they don't know math. I know some geography, they don't know geography. Their limitation is just, yes, they're not verbally skilled. They're sort of artistic. Artistic? Yeah, that's a South Park joke. Anyway, artistic. That's all. They're still playing the game. They just don't, they can't recognize the difference in the uniforms and different things. They're just not too, They know they're supposed to run with the ball, but they don't know exactly which way they're supposed to run. So they're playing the same game you're playing. They're playing the I don't feel good, I do feel good game. Eking out comfort, trying to find a nice position to sit in, a nice leaf to eat, something yummy. it doesn't have bugs on it, or at least doesn't have the wrong bugs on it. They're just, that's all. They're not doing anything different but feeling good or feeling bad. And, uncomfortable or comfortable. And so they're fighting for the same thing you're fighting for. Now, their ambitions aren't as grand as yours, right? We get depressed because, you get a defect of some kind, a blemish, we get depressed because something happens to degrade the quality of our psycho image, our internal self-image, and that makes us feel inferior or incomplete, or like we can't kick the ball very well, and so there's no point in kicking it to me because I can't do anything with it because my foot's broken. So we have all kinds of psychological crap. Now, they also have psychological crap. It's just different kind of psychological crap, you know, about little interactions they have with each other. And, yeah, they remember having fights with each other or not. And, you know, they're, and then sometimes I'm sure animals get confused and think some of their dreams are real. And, you know, and that just makes their life even more complicated. But regardless, the fundamental argument is just the simple argument that they have a brain in their head. You know, behind their eyeballs is a brain, just like you. And their brain is creating, okay, all of this crap that flows through their consciousness, you know, their awareness. The idea of being a brain that's doing all of this making of an experience. And they're having one of those. And it would be really stupid for you to say, just because it hasn't evolved to a state where it is as fucked up as we are, okay, language focused, word focused, all this kind of stuff, that somehow it's completely inferior in its capacity to create these, the most basic thing we do, okay, which is be motivated, the motivating desire machine. I mean, that's one of the, it's one of the oldest functions of a brain, okay, is reward and punishment. So it's been around a long time, and a lot of things have been doing it. And you're just doing it in a fancier way. Okay, you're doing it, analogy. See, I could, constructing a video, I could sit there and think of all the different analogies I could use, and I could use one that was, you know, most appropriate to explaining this silly little distinction, you know, between how, you know, we're living, you know, in a house with real marble floors and, you know, fancy this and fancy that and clean this and all real structure. And yes, animals are living in kind of a shabbier cottage of a brain, okay, that doesn't have the same functionality or reliability. But they're still living in it. They're still experiencing in it. And the experience is rich enough for you to appreciate that you wouldn't want to be them. And that's the simplest argument, is would you want to endure the experiences it's having? And I think the rational answer is, when you're grinding them up in a meat grinder, that no, you don't want to do that. You know, running them over with a steamroller or doing some other thing that you know is going to not be fun. You know, that you wouldn't want to do it happened to you, so you know it's bad. And you know, if your brain had any integrity, if it was at all honest, it would honestly say, well, if I wouldn't do it to me, I can't really justify doing it to somebody else, because it's the same difference, same problem. It's an event happening. And if the event happens to me or the event happens to them, I can't make any rational distinction and say it's more important because it happened to me. That would be stupid. I mean, it would be ignorant. It would be not logical for you to think that somehow it happening to you is more important than if it happened to somebody else standing next to you. Or something else, okay, on a leash. You know, yeah, that thing's just as important. The feelings are just as real, and they're going to be experienced just as viscerally, and, you know, with all the little nerve endings in place. And it's just not logical to think you're playing a good game when the only thing you're worried about is, well, is my Jell-O in one piece? You know, there's Jell-O all over the place, right? And you have an obsession with keeping Jell-O in one piece. Don't let the Jell-O get broken. Don't break the Jell-O. Can you really make any logical sense out of saying the only Jell-O that matters is the one sitting on your stick and all the other blobs of Jell-O? It's okay, I can smash them, I can dispose of them, I can exploit them, I can cheat them, I can do all kinds of things to them, because, yeah, that Jell-O doesn't matter. If it falls on the ground, smashes, who cares? I don't care, the universe doesn't care, therefore there's no care. The point is that you were obligated to care. Because you cared about this pile of Jell-O, you have to care about all the other Jell-O. Because it's just irrational to say, I'm special, the role of my dice is the important role, all the other dice rolling doesn't matter. I mean, see, there's so many analogies. You know, all the dice rolls matter. All the times the dice flip and the little skull and crossbones pop up, it matters. It's a real event. You know, it's happening. And it's part of the event that you're part of. It's the same batteries are running all of these computers, all of these devices. And that's the real question, is if you're going to judge what the batteries are going to do, you're going to have to judge them based on what all of the little machines are doing. And what's the net product of all of these machines doing all of this Jell-O wobbling? Why put all this Jell-O at jeopardy when so much of it's going to get smashed? Is the simple argument. So really, you only need three facts? Yeah, maybe three? And I'm already done. Yeah, I'm already convinced. Woo, life sucks. Stupid idea. Way too much broken Jell-O. You know, way too... You know, you're just walking through all the... You know, little pieces of banana and pineapple and all kinds of crap. And, you know, it's just a mess. Ew. And the fact is, that's the meat grinder. That's what you're walking through, is a bunch of sentient brains, you know, being damaged and broken and harmed and having to experience a bunch of useless and pointless torture. And for what? So you can walk around and ignore it? You know, because if you pay attention to the truth, you're just going to end up being depressed about it. So you can, there's no victory. I escaped torture today. Well, what good is it? You know, because I'm still kind of sad because, yeah, I escaped, but all this other shit didn't. So I don't feel very victorious. I don't feel like celebrating. You know, it's like, there could be an auto race and some guy wins the race, but three of his best friends got killed on the track. You know, maybe he's not going to sit there with the champagne going, I won. You know, maybe he's going to go, no, I think I lost, actually. I lost my best friends, you know. The only fun part of winning was, you know, to smoke a cigar and, you know, drink some beers and talk about the great race. Well, it wasn't so great because they're all dead. And, you know, one of them's head actually flew off and, you know, hit my windshield. It was just terrible. Yeah. Yeah, so winning isn't winning. You know, if you have a brain, you can figure that out. Me winning isn't really winning. Because there's still so many losers. And it's just way too expensive losing. Alright. I'll take a break. Blah, blah, blah. Alright, I'm back. So I was thinking that, yes, it's always in the context, you know, of evolution. It's first the physical evolution, and then the argument is that you have to evolve these kind of capacities, okay? So, as stated, I think the feeling part of our identity, our experience, is really ancient, okay? Animals have been feeling for a long time. What they haven't been doing is Mozart or Kant or whatever, philosophizing, thinking, talking, communicating, debating. They haven't been doing that very long. And that's part of the evolution. So part of the evolution is gaining language, okay? That's the first thing you do, right, is you start getting this capacity to identify objects and call them words. And so you start making nouns, and then you make verbs, and then you combine, you know, nouns and verbs into sentences that have meaning. You know, and then you have words like bad, okay, that's not a noun or a verb, okay? It's an active noun or something. You know, it's a description of something that's not physical, but it's circumstantial. And, well, anyway, so, you know, this stuff all evolves, and now we're in this evolution of, you know, trying to properly identify our psychology, you know, Freud and all that kind of crap, try to figure out why we are, why we do what we do, why, you know, we can't get over our addictions or our passions or this or that, or, you know, why we insanely do the same things over and over again, even though we know it doesn't work. You know, all of the bullshit. And we have all these little phrases and all these quotes from Einstein and, you know, all these people and all this crap. And to put together some sort of intelligent description of our reality. And so here I am in this process making my whatever contribution. Yes, my brain, for whatever reason, I'm in this role, okay? Yeah, it's clearly a good, you know, it's probably the role I'm made for, in the sense that I've always been seeking some sort of, you know, look to the sky, look to something, you know, I've been spending my whole life trying to figure out what the fuck is this shit, you know, why is it this bad, and why am I here, what's the point of this shit? You know, what's my role here, you know, and it just kept turning into, your role is to struggle and die. Well, fuck that. You know, I figured out not to have kids and do all the other stuff you're supposed to do naturally, okay, because I knew that was just a trap. That's just stupid. That's just being a dumb animal. An intelligent animal doesn't fall into those mistakes. You know, kind of obvious. Why would I want to strap dynamite to my brain? You know, no, thank you. But anyway, it's probably even more visceral. Why would I deliberately start shoving nails into my head? Yeah, the marriage and kids. Anyway. So yes. So that's, you know, the intelligence has to evolve out of the bullshit, okay? So the dumb universe makes something smart. Okay, that's feasible. That's going to be the truth, I'm just saying. You can play all kinds of games with your bullshit, but frankly, the truth is just going to be it's a dumb universe, and there are little clunks of the universe that apparently, through a rather bizarrely rare chain of cause and effect, you know, the creation of a neuron, all of this stuff that has to happen, that only happens once in a whole millions of years of evolutionary history. The event only happens once. Well, anyway, the creation event, the thing that makes it possible. You know, and we have a bunch of those. And, you know, it has to evolve in the context of a, you know, reward and punishment, the idea that, you know, that's even how logic works. I mean, facts are verified because you get a pleasant feeling, because they fit, they have symmetry with all the other stuff, and you get an uneasiness, and it wobbles your boat, so to speak. It imbalances you if the facts don't add up, and they don't sit in the boat quietly, and the thing wobbles. You know, and so all of this is happening to produce this conversation about what does it mean to be alive, and sitting here saying, well, what's, you know, what's the agenda? What's winning? Is winning me petting my little grandchildren on, well, who knows where people are petting their grandchildren? What's the use in it? Oh, another, you know, what the fuck? People live for that crap? Phew, I endure chemotherapy, you know, so I can fart in the vicinity of my grandchildren and be a smelly old geezer who doesn't say anything relevant. Yeah, sorry, just not even close to one of my, even my littlest ambitions. But anyway, So yes, I have a real problem understanding any of you because I'm like, what the fuck? You live for this shit? Phew. Anyway. So there's one of the ironies is, understanding evolution is understanding that, yes, your ideas are just evolved. The capacity to have them has evolved. And now that you can have them, the simple truth is it's not, just like everything that evolves, it's not perfect, okay? It's got inefficiencies in it. And so, our intelligence is fallible. But our senses are pretty good. So the idea that we can, see the truth, we can see pretty accurately. We can hear pretty accurately. We can touch and feel things pretty accurately. Pretty reliable. So the senses are good. It's what our brain does to the information collected, where everything goes sideways. And so my role here is to try to prevent the sideways, try to correct sideways thinking. Because it's not good for you and it's not good for the future. Because the future, we're the cause, they'll be the effect. So you're going to sort of understand that it sort of matters what we do because we're going to cause their effect. We can be a constructive, productive cause to a future effect, or we can be a menace to the future and create causes that will be just completely negative effects. The chain, we can put really toxic links, causing toxic destinies. So it's sort of important. Lots of ourselves at risk. Lots of piles of jello, just as valuable as your little conscious identity. Out there, waiting to be imposed upon by your bad decisions. Tortured, frankly. All right, so what's the intelligent conversation about being here? And I guess I'm just, now we're right back to the beginning, right? Well, the intelligent conversation is conceding the truth. It's a dumb universe. Intelligent tools can arise in machines that are built to have tools, right? I mean, crocodiles have certain tools, big tail and big, sharp teeth and clampy jaws and blah, 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 blah. Everything has its tools for survival. Our tool was a way of being strategic, okay? So we're playing the game not because we're a bishop or a rook or any of these, we don't have overt capacities to jump squares and do magnificent things, but we have the capacity to strategize. And so we succeeded as an organism. Because we could outmaneuver the other beasties, okay? We didn't physically defeat them. We mentally, strategically defeated them. We can use that faculty of scheming to scheme a better future, or we can waste it and just keep scheming for self-indulgent nationalism or whatever, racism, all the other bullshit-isms that motivate way too many people. So that's the intelligent conversation is, okay, we have intelligence, now let's process the facts and make an intelligent, do what the brain can do, which is intelligently put the facts together, add that up. We see some twos and some fours and some eights. Let's, put the stuff together, add it up, and see what it equals. The argument here is that obviously, you add up the facts of our existence, and the number you produce, the product, is a negative number. It's red, it's bloody, it's too expensive, is the simple argument. And it's way too feeble a good. The value of being here, just to be here and experience. Ooh, I have an experience. I mean, there's no reason to put Jell-O on a stick. You can't make an argument that the Jell-O needs to exist. There's nobody that eats Jell-O in the universe. I mean, you know, without us needing the Jell-O to eat, there's nobody who eats the Jell-O. It's a useless. So it's just too self-serving. You're just being a slave to ambitions that have no legitimacy. They don't need to exist, and they're expensive. If they do exist, they just create a bunch of inefficiencies that you can't control, and cost way too much to have the universe do this "I feel and I'm alive" thing. It's way too expensive, because way too much of the Jell-O crashes and burns. And if you're honest, you know you wouldn't pay that price. If you had to hop from loser to loser to loser forever, you know, kid in doing, you know, in St. Jude patient, you know, and then you had to jump to being, you know, accidentally had his arm ripped off by a wheat cob combine, and you had to jump to all of these different experiences, and they were all shit. You'd say, why would I want to do that? I don't want to play that video game. And it's just, that's the game we are actually playing, is this really expensive game. You know, where even people we think, you know, people who have everything jump off of buildings, you know, because the game is so hard to actually get to any position where you could say, I won. You know, there's very few people in very few winning circles where they don't have some sort of damage, you know, where they've seen something happen, you know, their best friend decapitated, or some other thing has happened that just ruins the fun, you know, taints it, you know, puts a suffocatingly nasty odor in the air, and you'll never get rid of that odor. I say I have had a few life experiences where, yes, the smell, that smell of death, okay, so to speak, you just can't get it off your clothes, so you can't get it off your skin. It's, you know, it's like a tattoo. It's, you know, you're going to have to really work at it to scrub it off. Yeah, well, that's probably a good place to take a break, so we'll do that. Yeah, I'm back. So my brain was running, you know, one of its little crappy underproduced movies, you know, one of its little analogies or metaphors, and so it was thinking about the meat grinder, and I'm just thinking about a funnel, and thinking about, you know, what if life was like that movie, Jim Carrey with the whatever, you know, like his life is being videotaped. You know, well, what if, okay, we could, you know, you're in this game, the Matrix, and you could see the obvious flaws in it, okay? So say if it was just a funnel, okay, and there's a flame just burns you or something, at the you know, meat grinder, doesn't matter. Something nasty is at the base of the funnel. And you're going up the funnel, right? There's a little staircase that spirals up the funnel, and a very long staircase. And, you know, but unfortunately, as you get higher and higher, and you want to go up because it gets warmer and warmer, so it keeps getting nicer and nicer, you know, as you go higher and higher. The air gets cleaner, less smells, less smoky, let's say. It just gets nicer and nicer the higher you go. So you have a reason to keep going higher, but the staircase gets rickier and rickier and rickier as you go higher. That's like aging. And, you know, nobody ever gets out. And, you know, nobody, and nobody stops, you know, and says, okay, I'm not going to go any further, because, yeah, it's too dangerous to go any further. Kind of thing, you know. And so, yeah, you just have, people just keep sliding down, and some of them slide down when they're 10, and some slide down much later, and they're just sliding down, and some get slowly burned up by the fire because they slide down, they hit some staircases or something, they get caught and tangled up, and so they slowly burn to death, and some get, yes, nice and quick, but, you know, for most it is a terrifying experience, the sliding down the funnel, heading for the disaster. And it can be very long and drawn out and painful and unpleasant and blah, 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 blah. And so that's the short version of the movie, right? And then the longer version is, what if, now we make it a little more sophisticated. It's not just a staircase, but there's little worlds, little plateaus, little green pastures and little different events and places in your life. I get married and I do this and I do, you know, and that could be a metaphor for, you know, these events. These transitions in your life, these places you go for entertainment, you know, Disneyland or some, you know, whatever. And those could be metaphor to even our delusions about what our life is and what we're accomplishing and all that kind of crap. But we're still motivated to, you know, leave places to go warmer, to get to the cleaner air, to get a better breath. So, you know, there's that tricky part of transitioning, and people have midlife crises, and all that could fit in because, yeah, people have to make these decisions about their unhappiness and how to fix it, and, you know, the price paid for that, and blah, 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 blah. And again, it's also temporary, and you can't stay, you know. I have to come up with an analogy for, you know, you stay in a place, but instead of the staircase getting rotten, you know, as you go higher, if you stay in a place long enough, your weight, you know, makes it start to sink. You know, it starts sliding down. So you're stuck in this dilemma of being stagnant and sinking, or walking the dangerous staircase to disability and doom. But that you could get caught up in places, you can go places, you know, and gain a little peace of mind. So, well, like we can watch movies, you know, and for a couple of hours we can get lost in some adventure and, you know, be distracted and be not thinking about our life or the stuff that reoccurs and harasses us. So we get those little oases. But they do, you know, run out. Time degrades them, you know. And real life encroaches and breaks the bubble of contentment. Or preoccupation or whatever you want to call it, distraction. I'm not in the funnel, you know, a realization that, oh, okay, I don't have to think about funnel decisions. You know, I can just enjoy Disneyland kind of bullshit. So that's what, you know, ran through my head. It's just some way to metaphor or create analogy for all of this bullshit. And it's just, there's no way to make it make any sense. Why walk the funnel? I mean, it's just not a good game to play. Funnel to doom. You know, why I wouldn't sentence somebody to play it. I mean, short of like a, you know, massively mass murderer or something. I mean, who deserves to play the game? I don't think anyone's committed a crime worthy of that game. And here we impose it on things. We say, we love you. I love you. Now let me watch you die horribly. What the fuck? Let me watch you struggle and eke and, that's a crazy definition of love, frankly. So there's one of the simplest conclusions after you've gone through this process of let's argue reality. You have to get to conclusions eventually. And yeah, the simple conclusion is, wow. Why would I force somebody to play this game? I mean, it just there's no good position here on the field. You're either an ignorant, you know, mass murderer, or you're a conscientious depressed, sad, lamenting, decent person. I mean, you know, there's lots of shit in between, but I just mean there's no place to go here. You can't play a good game. You can't play a smart game. You can't play any, there's no game to play. It's just horrible. You're either, again, you're the most burdened, overworked janitor, or you're a frivolous cunt, running over cats in the street or something. I mean, you're a menace. And there's nothing in between those. There's no place to go that's a good, where you're a quality asset to the human condition. And the best you can do is a depressed janitor. And that's not much. I mean, that's not much to wish on your children. Oh, the best medal you can win is to be a self-sacrificing, devoted cleaner-up of a mess that shouldn't exist. Yeah, fuck that. Again, it's that's not what you do to things you're supposed to love. So, so that's where the brain went. And we'll try one more time and see if it goes someplace even better. Yeah. I have to admit that, just constructing analogies is a bit of a distraction, right? Because you're just saying, I'm trying to make a perfect tool. Like, what's the perfect hammer or the perfect shape or the perfect weight or the perfect balance? And it's the same kind of thing. So it's a nice distraction for engineer types to spend a little time engineering, But the truth is that's work too. It's not like all fun. It's like some work to get there. It's like you have to, to create the perfect romantic scene, you have to, vacuum and, wash and iron the sheets and do, you have to do a lot of little bullshit to make it perfect. So it's work. None of it's free. All right, I'm back. All right, so the point of this video was sort of to just point out how, yes, I'm constructing argument. And the idea is to index the argument or to facilitate not doing the redundant part. I mean, I shouldn't have to. If you already understand that the universe doesn't have gods in it and that there's not multiverses and there's not all this bullshit, then why make all those arguments explaining the context that we're just stuck here being intelligent fish? So if you already understand the intelligent fish thing, maybe the only argument I have to have with you is about whether you should care about your fish more than the other fish. That somehow you're in the school of fish and you somehow think, what happens to this fish is really important. It's not so important what happens to the other fish. Maybe that's your dumb idea that I have to fix. But maybe you already know that too. So maybe I don't need to argue the it's not a single player game with you. Because you already know it. Yeah, I get it. It's not a single player game. The brains are the only thing that matters. And their brain is just as important as my brain. And making their brain suffer is not a good idea. Okay, it's never a good idea to have any brain anywhere in pain. The harassment. All right, back. I probably have to disconnect that. So making the argument, constructing it, and there's parts that, we don't need to argue stuff we agree on. We just need to get to the part where we disagree or where you're not seeing what I'm seeing to get to this idea of agreeing on a conclusion. And so the conclusion is life is bad, okay, don't make no more of it, okay? And we're the most intelligent thing in this part of the universe, and so it's our bus to drive and it's our decision to make. And we've got to do the right thing for everybody on the bus. And the right thing is stop the bus. Forget it. It's got nowhere to go. And way too many precious things are falling onto the street and getting mangled. So way too expensive, way too little point or purpose. Done. We're done playing. It's not a good idea. Let's do whatever it takes to deconstruct the mechanism. All right. And so that's the conclusion. and just, well, let's get to that end in the most graceful, decent, ethical way possible. You know, let's all democratically agree and let's do this and let's do all that stuff that's necessary to make it a nice, valid, appropriate, the best possible outcome, blah, 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 blah. And so it's just getting from here to there. You know, and there's just these facts that provide the road. And the road is provided by, there's no God. It's evolution, stupid, and evolution is stupid, stupid. I mean, evolution is stupid, stupid. If you don't get that, you're really dumb. So that's another part I have to explain, right? So maybe that's a subject where you just don't get it. You know, that you don't get how evolution is stupid because it kills most of the things it makes in some brutal, horrible way to somehow improve them in some kind of micrometer way. You know, to make your brain 1 micrometer extra brain cells. You know, it kills 100 little kids. I mean, that's stupid. You know, sorry, it's unethical, it's indecent, it's obscenely retarded. It's mass murderer ethics. So evolution isn't some sort of great idea. What a way to make something better is to make a whole bunch of them and smash them with hammers. No, that's not a great way to do it. It's a really inefficient, stupid way to do it. So, so these are the little pieces, the little arguments you have to make the bridge from here, you know, facts to conclusions. And, that's it. And there is a more efficient way to do that would be for me to point out the stepping stones and say, okay, do we agree on no God? Okay, then we can get rid of that one. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Do we agree on what evolution does? Okay, we don't have to talk about that anymore. Do we agree that brains are brains and there's no special brains? Okay, then we don't have to talk about that anymore. Do we agree the future is bigger than the present? Well, yeah, so we don't have to talk about that anymore. I mean, you know, we can just eliminate the stones and get to the conclusion, you know. And then I can just make the videos, you know, I can make 10 videos for the 10 stones and settle those arguments in the sense of provide the evidence that makes it quite obvious to me that that's a stone you step on. That's a fact. Evolution, fact. God, not fact. You know, that kind of thing. So that's the idea. That I attempted it 10 years ago, and didn't, you know, I didn't know high production values, just this kind of stuff, you know, so it wasn't good enough quality. The idea of, oh, it's just yes or no questions, okay? Do you understand there's no God? Yes. Let's move on. Yeah. Do you understand it's just a brain, a physical brain manifesting your consciousness? Okay, let's not argue that. You know, come on. It's just not that complicated. Frankly. I mean, if you want to get into the depth of the physics, then it gets complicated. But I really, even then, like I said, there's the evidence of three-dimensional space and different, it's so overwhelming that why would we bother arguing? Why would you bother saying you got hope for the human race because of some bullshit you invented having to do with some abstract quantum entanglement effect or something? That's your desperate hope? You're going to fix all the other obvious facts with that piece of desperate babble? I mean, that's just going to be, then the argument's going to be, how big a psychopath are you? I mean, how much will you break reality, you know, to force it to fit the conclusion you want, which is, I deserve more candy, you know, or whatever your silly conclusion is. So anyway, yeah, that's enough of a video. So that's what my brain does during the week, is it tries to think of how to construct metaphors and analogies and a way of saying the stuff or a method of saying it that will be more productive in terms of its effect. And I really don't spend enough time, I guess, on just being more, I just have to scheme for views, right? I have to, maybe a silly hat, I don't know. The world just isn't, it's not really about playing the game well, it's about playing the game they expect you to play well. And the two games aren't the same game. The truth is not the game people are playing. So somehow I have to fool them by playing the truth, but playing silly, stupid, fucktard game also. The game of, I love you, YouTubers. Hey, YouTubers, hit the bell and ring the thing and and buy some of my merchy. Because merch is important. I really can't do that shit. I can't play that game. It's just way too humiliating. All right. I mean, I should be able to, put on the pink tutu and dance the ballet, but I don't want to do that. So, till the next time, YouTubers. Oh, I'm not on YouTube. Yeah, that's right. Google's evil, but it's fun. It's fun evilness. No, I can't do that either. Anyway, so that's enough of a video. Alright, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. And, I just keep doing what I can. That's all. I'm doing the best I can of this, apparently. trying to do better. It's on my mind. I'm harassed. My mind does harass me. You got to do better. You got to do better. You got to do better. So I do get harassed by it. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough. All right. So this has been a DoNotGod.com video presentation. And, we'll just keep trying. That's all I can do. And such.